Radio 95.5.
This is Harry Hurley, 30 minutes past the hour. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is here for a live special event and a lot to chat about for the time that we have with the governor. Governor, welcome back to WPG, sir.
Good to be back with you, Harry. Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I mean, I'm doing well under the circumstances, right? So almost 3,900 new positive cases today. Another 21 blessed lives lost that we announced. We're still in the fight here. There's no question about it.
And let me say, my go-to doctor is Dr. John McGee. He has been intellectually honest. He has been extremely professional about this from the beginning. He has told me as recently as today that this second wave, this spike, is real. And he is not a hysterical person about this. He's been very, very sobering about it. But he said, and I repeat, the second wave and this spike is real. That's probably a good jump-off point. Let me ask you, Governor Murphy, you've set certain restrictions statewide to take effect this Thursday. Explain to our listeners what your philosophy of governance is regarding combating COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, this is one, Harry, where we have to step back and say we have a lot of private setting transmission right now in people's homes. I'm concerned about the holidays coming up, people getting together for watching a Rutgers football game, whatever it might be. There's a lot of transmission going on in private settings. So most importantly, I got to plead with people. I just got off the phone a short while ago with the CEO of Pfizer. That vaccine is real. These are coming. My guess is there's more than one that's going to come. We're in a sprint here for the next probably 4 to 6 months. So most important point I want to make is people have COVID fatigue. I don't blame them. I've got it myself, but we have got to fight back. This virus just wants us to let our guard down. Secondly, in the public, in places where we can see, we had too many cases of bartenders coming up positive, too many cases of restaurants that were morphing into clubs, if not in name, in substance late at night. So at least for the foreseeable future, taking away seated service at a bar, asking indoor services to close at restaurants at 10 o'clock to prevent that late night migration. And then the other piece, Harry, is we've gotten a lot of cases coming out of or related to hockey. And so we're not sure it's the actual sport. In fact, I think our betting is it isn't, but adjacent activities. So what we've said especially is we're cutting out any interstate or multi-state tournaments on indoor sports for the time being. Will that be enough? I hope it is. But I think the most important point, Harry, is the first one, to plead with people to even if they're in a private home or a private setting, to keep the social distance, stay outside as much as you can, wear the face coverings, etc.
Governor Murphy, and it's countless restaurants and bar owners and employees that have reached out to me. They know about our good relationship with each other, and they're all saying the same thing to me. If they were to honor your social distancing edict and have the 6 feet distance and all of that, they want to know why a bar with the 6 foot distancing and the proper respect to your executive order, why can't a bar remain open?
Well, because we've got, unfortunately, the data to prove that that's where a lot of transmissions are coming from. And that's just the fact. But here's something I didn't say, because I have nothing but unending empathy, sympathy for the restaurant industry. This is not just in New Jersey. It's been crushed in our state, everywhere, probably around the world at this point. What we have, however, also said as of Thursday, if you can't accommodate the 6 foot separation of tables, but you have barriers that are good barriers that the Department of Health would support, we're going to allow folks to seat people more closely, because you are losing some of your capacity when you cut the bar seats away. We know that, so we're trying to help folks figure out other creative ways where they can make up for that. And hopefully, again, it's a lousy situation. I'm not trying to make anyone think it isn't, but hopefully that makes it a little bit better.
You said it very clearly, but I want to reiterate, proper barriers that are approved, that are acceptable to inspection, can substitute for the 6 foot requirement.
Correct. That's correct. And we're also allowing explicitly these outdoor kind of self-contained pop-up tents to be also close in to each other, as long as inside of any one of them it's one party. And so those are things people have called them over the years. This is not my word, but igloos over the past number of months. And so we're also allowing for them to be more prevalent on the outside dining piece.
And Governor Murphy, you're well aware, no one likes this. You don't like it. And of course, it's always open to criticism. I've maintained that I think you've shown that you can be nimble on this. If as things go along for whatever period of time, this newest round of restrictions would be required, will you constantly monitor? Because obviously this could be a wave that, what if it cost another 20% of our business owners their livelihoods, their life's work? Yeah. So we have to be so mindful of this, don't we?
No, 100%. I mean, we absolutely monitor this. These steps will take place. And by the way, I thought you were going to say something else. It could also cost us, I thought you were going to say, another 20x lives.
That's true, too.
Right? So this is literally life and death. And it's also life and death for small businesses, especially restaurants. We will monitor this absolutely. So they go into effect on Thursday. And we will be, there's a period of time where you have to sort of see how things are going. We took a step last Thursday, which has not gotten as much press as I think it deserves, and that is the requirement of employers of all businesses, no matter what the business is, to stand up to obligations on things like providing masks, social distancing, breaks to wash, to allow employees to wash hands with soap and water. That should make a difference. That's a positive. That's going to be another public health weapon for us. So we will monitor this like a hawk. We've shown, you used the word nimble. I like that. We've shown early on when we shut things dramatically, we did it for a reason and then opened them in a sequence that I think made sense. And we'll do the same thing here. We're not shutting places, or we're not taking steps for the sake of doing them. We believe the steps we're taking will address what is now an unmistakable surge in the virus.
You're listening live with Governor Phil Murphy, and we're obviously talking about COVID-19, the governor's new restrictions, which take effect statewide on Thursday, day after tomorrow. This one, I'll just pose it. Are you concerned about the potential law of unintended consequences? In other words, setting limits on restaurants, setting limits on bars could create a COVID-19 spread at house parties and events and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a legitimate concern. I know the Restaurant Association has raised it. We've raised it, that's happening already, by the way. It's not, in our judgment, and more importantly, in the health experts' judgment, it's not an either or. We have to take both steps. Number one, make sure that the restaurant doesn't migrate late at night into a club, on the one hand, and enforce that. And on the other hand, plead with people in private settings that they cannot let their hair down. And it has to be not either or, but and both.
Governor Murphy, you've heard all the public comments, I'm sure, and then some, with respect to, will New Jersey return to normal voting for people to be able to vote on voting machines? Do you see that returning in 2021, back to the future, to normal?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I'm going to put the pandemic aside for a second, Harry, and if again, I'm on with Albert Bourla an hour or so ago at Pfizer and other folks developing it. I'm actually optimistic that we'll be able to get there by the spring. So assuming I'm right and you're looking at fall elections, I want to get back to machines. It requires, however, an investment, and we're working with our legislative partners. We have to get an upgrade in something that folks call colloquially electronic poll books. And so I love the mail-in piece. It worked overwhelmingly well. But I don't like the fact that folks had to use paper ballots on Election Day. We had no choice, given we don't have that technology. And secondly, I don't like the fact, Harry, in New Jersey, you cannot vote in person early.
Right.
So I'm in Monmouth County. Freehold's the county seat. I think it should be 30 days before an election. Somebody should be able to go at least Monday through Friday, maybe every other Saturday or something, and show up socially distanced, responsibly, and vote early. It requires an investment. We're working with the legislative leadership on trying to find that statute and get that organized. And with that, we'd be able to have it all. We could do big mail-in piece, early voting in person, and then voting on election day all by machine.
And then the vote by mail, Governor, would be for those who request it.
I think that's probably the reality. This year, as you know, everybody got it.
Yeah.
But if you had the setup that I just articulated, and we were not in a pandemic, Harry, so that's the other thing. We were trying to balance public health with the sacred right to vote. I think we got it more than accomplished. We only start to count the provisional ballots tomorrow. We already have over 4.3 million ballots in. The previous high water mark was 3.9 million. So in that respect, it's been a resounding success. But, and this is the but, we had, you know, if we can get to a place next fall where there's not a pandemic, I want to get back on machines.
Well, I give you a lot of credit for that. If and when you do that, and I'll tell you why, because under the high-wielding executive authority that you have as governor during an emergency crisis, there are many people that would just keep it that way and figure,
yep,
hey, I'm running this time, and I can benefit by that. So if the
yep,
if the environment is right, you're going to do the right thing.
No question. Again, it does the footnote, Harry, is it needs it. We need an investment. It's probably $25 million, maybe $30 million to get that electronic poll book a reality. The legislative leadership has shown early on, at least in the early days here, their notional support for that. So that's the one thing we need, and I'm confident we can get there and we'll get back. Again, please God, we're not in a pandemic at that point.
Yes, sir. And you've already given me a couple of minutes of overtime. One last question, if you'll stretch for
please,
me. Do
yep,
you foresee, because you know that all of our fellow New Jerseyans are wondering, all right, here's this list of restrictions. Is there anything coming next? Do you foresee any more COVID-19 restrictions coming anytime soon here in New Jersey?
I can't take it off the table, Harry, unfortunately. I'd love to be able to say I don't, but we have to leave all options there. We do owe ourselves to see the impact of the steps we're going to take on Thursday, the impact of that employer's obligations that I mentioned we took last Thursday, the hopeful acceptance of our bullhorn as it relates to to not dropping your guard in private settings.
Let me get your take on one last thing real quick, mm-hmm, and it is this, and I don't mitigate because I've explained my go-to guy. I believe in you, but my go-to doctor is Dr. McGee,
yep,
another Hurley Murphy McGee, fine Irishman.
Yeah, I love that triumph.
Yeah, I know. It's a great troika. So in McGee, I trust, and he's an honest broker,
go,
and he says this is real. What I
yep,
think I also know, but tell me what your experts are telling you, Governor Murphy, and then we'll get you out of here. In terms of the number of cases are spiking, I think our local hospitals are about half of where they were at the worst of the first wave. So that's
mm-hmm,
that's concerning. That's something to be very mindful, because
yep,
half can turn to three
yep,
quarters and then full before you know it. So I'm mindful of that. But are we experiencing more cases and also obviously more testing, which will get you more positive cases, but also has this disease weakened? I kind of sense that it's mutated and the second iteration is weaker than the first, or maybe we just have better therapies and we're on it earlier. I don't know, maybe all the above. What do you know?
What does our Irish cousin Dr. McGee think?
Well, he thinks, I'm going to talk to him further about the second wave, but he does believe that the second wave is not producing, obviously, the number of mortalities, fatalities.
Yep.
Is that what your experts are telling you?
Let me give you, the answer is so far yes, although, as you know, deaths lag case reporting. So we're just under 3,900 positives today. I think our number, our biggest day in the spring was about 4,300. So we're about 90, sadly, about 90% of the all-time high today. I'll skip the blessed souls we've lost because, again, that's a lagging indicator. Right now, hospitalizations in the state are at 1,645 as of last night. The good news there is, and I'm going to morph to good news here and give a couple of data points. The peak on hospitalizations, if my memory serves me, was 8,300. So you're basically at 20% of that, and that's a good thing. So you mentioned locally you're at 50, statewide it's about 20%.
Good.
So what do we have going for us? Our doctors, scientists know a lot more than they did in the spring in terms of how to treat it, number one. Number two, we have capacities unlike anything we had in the spring as a state and as a nation. So we have plus or minus 100 million items of PPE in a state stockpile.
We have a heartbreak in 30 seconds.
We have 2,600 ventilators in a stockpile. Right now, there are 98 being used. Thirdly, it looks like it's impacting younger people. That's good in terms of, we don't want it to impact anybody, but they're healthier. I'll stop right there. So those are without question, and we test a ton more people. Those are big differences from the old, early days.
As always, Governor Murphy, thank you for your accessibility.
Thanks, Harry.
I really appreciate our relationship.
Okay, you betcha. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. I'm Harry Hurley. This is WPG Talk Radio 95.5, that exclusive interview with Governor Murphy. And now we go right back to Sean Hannity. Oh, and matter of fact, Chris Coleman gave me an extra 2 minutes, and Governor Murphy gave us an extra six. Let me share something while the music's playing me off the stage. I was thinking I was going at 3:46. I had till 3:48. We did learn something that I don't think has been reported anywhere. I'm very fortunate that I am blessed a few times a month to work nationally with Fox News Radio, and a very good friend over at Fox News shared with me in a text that Cal Cunningham has conceded. If you're following all these races and all these different machinations and things that are happening and recounts and challenges and all of this Decision 2020 stuff, Cal Cunningham, who was embroiled in a very, very tough race with the incumbent Tom Tillis, that many thought, even with Cal Cunningham's scandal, the personal scandal, that in fact he might just defeat Tom Tillis, and of course that could tip the balance of power in the United States Senate. He has conceded to Tom Tillis. That is now official, the state of North Carolina.
It's no secret that 2020